You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
From the depths of the sea, this is Transmissions from Atlantis, a sci-fi, fantasy, and horror podcast with a special emphasis on Doctor Who. Featuring the creators of Seekers of the Lost World, Rita and J.C. Delatorre.
Hello everybody, my name is J.C. Delatorre.
And I'm Rita Delatorre.
And this is Transmissions from Atlantis, episode 135.
Yep. Apologies for the delay in getting an episode out, but we've had quite a few things going on the past couple weeks, including Hurricane Irma.
Yep, we had the hurricane, then, there was another hurricane that was out there, and then we've had some personal stuff that we had to deal with. There was also some major Seekers of the Lost World news, too, that we're going to be talking about today.
Oh, yes. Our score is done.
Yep. And we're actually going to be playing a little bit of that for you in this podcast. In addition to that, we're going to be having Rapid Fire. Unfortunately, we didn't get to the movies in the last 2 weeks because we've been so busy. So we didn't get to see The Kingsman. So that's not going to be reviewed. But we are going to talk about The Return of Lucifer. We did get to see the original Blade Runner. We saw it on demand.
Which Jason and I, neither of us had seen it since we were itty-bitty kids, so... Yep.
So we'll give you our interesting take on that. The new sci-fi comedy that's on Fox called Ghosted, as well as some other things that we're going to cover in rapid fire. The main topic this week, of course, is Star Trek Discovery's return
versus Star Trek Orville?
versus Star Trek Orville, yes. And, of course, as always, we're going to talk some Doctor Who stuff as well. So we've got a jam-packed episode for you, so let's not fool around. We're going to get right to the big Seekers of the Lost Worlds news, coming up next.
For years, Dr. Geek has toiled in obscurity, trying to realize the future through the science of applied geekdom. Pressured to prove his theories or lose funding, Dr. Geek has now opened the doors of his amazing laboratory to public participation and public collaboration. With the help of his partner, Mr. Flask, a test subject known as Mr. Creature, and a computer called the Deus Ex Machine, Dr. Geek conducts an investigation into the world of tomorrow, creating the future by discussing it.
Do you want me to turn down the oxygen in the labyrinth?
Oh boy, the things I get to do for science!
That's not a good sound.
And why is this sticky?
Join the discussion at www.drgeeklab.com.
All right, folks, so Seekers of the Lost Worlds, let's give you an update of where we're at. Yes, we are still in post-production, and yes, it does seem like it's taken friggin' forever to finish post-production.
But we had delays due to Hurricane Irma, and some of the people we've been working with have been without power for a few days during that time, so...
Yep. And some almost a week without power, so it was definitely an impact. But great news is Michael Tobin, our composer for Seekers of the Lost World, has completed the score that he's going to do for us, and he's turned that over to Brian, our sound engineer, who is now finishing up the master copy of everything. So I think we're getting towards the end now.
Yes, and there is an end in sight.
Yep. And so the next steps after this is basically we are going to test the film a few times, bring in a few close friends and family members and whatnot.
And we'll be fine-tuning, doing some final polishing.
Yep. And then we take it out on the market and see who wants to buy it. Simple as that. So one of the things we wanted to do is give you a little taste of Michael's score. We're not going to play an entire piece because that, you know, we don't want anybody to just kind of hit the record button and record the whole thing. But we're going to give you a little taste of the Seekers of the Lost World theme. Folks, what did you think about that?
I love it.
Yeah, I love it too. To me, it reminds me of Stargate, so I'm thrilled with it. How about you?
Oh, no. I mean, everything Michael has been providing for us has been through the roof amazing, and I can't wait for people to watch the film and listen to the score.
Yep, because, I mean, I've always said that sound is almost as important as the visuals in a film, and if it sounds good, and even if the visuals aren't the greatest in the world, it can still make the movie. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And so Michael's doing a fantastic job, and I'm sure that Brian's going to be doing a fantastic job. We can't wait to get the final mix of everything and then put that to the film and see what happens. All right, coming up next is our rapid fire segment.
Rapid fire? Fire! Okay, so we're going to start rapid fire with Lucifer returning. Yay!
So, of course, as you remember, Lucifer ended in a cliffhanger where he was left in the middle of the desert and suddenly had wings.
Yeah, well, he wasn't too happy to get those wings back. And on top of that, he lost his devil face right when he was going to show her.
Right. And the crazy thing is that he's tried to cut off the new wings.
No, he didn't try. He did cut off the new wings. And then they grew back.
And they grew right back again. So he's basically hosed. For some reason, God has given Lucifer his wings back. And of course, his brother, Amedadil, I think that's the way you pronounce his name, I'm not sure. He sees it as a sign of redemption for Lucifer, so...
And if Lucifer can be redeemed, he can be redeemed too.
And of course, as narcissistic as Lucifer is, Lucifer thinks it's just some weird ploy that God's, you know, doing against him. So,
of course.
You know, because Lucifer is the ultimate narcissist.
The only problem I actually had with that particular episode is, you know, he tried to show her his devil face to, you know, finally, you know, put everything out there about who he really is. It didn't happen. And I'm like, okay. But you still have other things that you can do to prove it to her, like, you know, wings.
Well, he didn't have the wings at the time. Remember, he had cut them off at that point.
Yeah, but they instantly grew back. He just didn't know they had grown back. Well, but yeah, hopefully he'll think about that at a later episode.
Yep. All right, so the original Blade Runner.
Well, you remember when you and I, a couple years ago, went back and rewatched the original Tron movie, and then we realized just how boring that movie really was?
Yes.
Yeah.
I know it's sacrilegious, but I honestly did not really enjoy Blade Runner all that much.
I actually found it extremely boring.
Yeah. I can tell you that in my memory...
It was a lot cooler.
That movie is a lot cooler than watching it today.
Not only was it boring to me, but
it was just an odd
Daryl story. Hannah's character creeped me out.
Yeah, well, she definitely creeped me out. And it was an odd way of storytelling because it was film noir, but without the noir, you know what I mean? Where it was dark and there was rain and Ridley Scott kind of filmed it like if it was a noir kind of film. But it just didn't jive. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like you said, I remember that so differently as a child, but now watching it as an adult, I was like, I mean, I understood the story and what was going on, but didn't you make a comment that it almost felt a little Twin Peaks in regards to how weird
yeah,
it kind of got
just
at times?
Yeah, an odd movie. And, you know, I know there's this big conspiracy theory that Decker is a replicant. I just don't see it. I mean, I know Ridley Scott has come on record and saying that he feels that Decker was a replicant, but I don't see it.
And here's the thing about that. I don't see the point in making him a replicant. I mean, I have seen movies where there have been interesting twists at the end that made sense and helped to enhance the story. This doesn't enhance the story. It makes absolutely no sense. There was no buildup at all towards it.
Yeah.
I know that the later versions...
The later versions had some weird crap, like unicorns and stuff.
Yeah, like the whole unicorn dream, and then later with the whole unicorn origami thing, that's apparently what's supposed to make him a replicant. I'm like, I don't see it, and
yeah,
I don't think it makes any sense, and I think making him a replicant is just, I don't know, it's pointless.
It doesn't make any sense.
No.
But I will tell you this, though. I am interested in Blade Runner 2049 now because I don't think this style of storytelling would work in today's film going, right?
No. So, you know, this story's and the style of the film is going to be much different.
Much different. And I want to I guess what I want to know is, are the hardcore Blade Runner fans who right now are cursing us because we are bad talking Blade Runner, are they going to accept a more actioned-up version of Blade Runner? You know, because if you look at the trailer, it's like, you know, explosions, and it's like Michael Bay is remaking it, for crying out loud. You know, so it's going to be interesting to see how they react. And I know, of course, our friend Scott Vigay, Dr. Scott, he is, of course, a Blade Runner fan because he loves everything sci-fi. And he, number one, thinks we're crazy for talking bad about Blade Runner, but on the second part, I'm interested to see what his reaction is going to be, because I think he's going in, and a lot of the other Blade Runner fans are going in, expecting it to be Blade Runner the Continuation, or Blade Runner 25 years later, and it's not going to be that, I don't think.
Well, we'll just have to get Scott on to the next episode to review it with us.
Yep.
Alright, so next up, we watched the new series called Ghosted.
Yep, it's a sci-fi comedy that premiered on Fox, and it's kind of like Ghostbusters.
But if Ghostbusters had a secret underground organization.
You know what it is? It's like Ghostbusters meets MIB. That's basically what it is.
Yes, exactly.
And it was funny, but I don't know. What did you think of it?
I didn't think it was very memorable, because as of right now, I couldn't even tell you which scene I enjoyed most or what line I enjoyed most or even what the character's name was. I found it very forgettable.
Yeah. And I might give it another shot, you know, maybe one more episode just to see if it catches me. But right now, I'm kind of on the fence with it. I enjoyed the episode. I remember enjoying the episode. But other than that...
I don't know if maybe it's because we were super tired because we had literally just finished doing a lot of, you know...
Manual labor stuff, yeah.
Manual labor stuff. But either way, it just didn't feel memorable to me.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. So we finally caught up with Wynonna Earp. And, you know, I'm confused. Because I remember when Wynonna Earp had its season finale, I guess it was maybe a month ago or whenever it was, right? And I remember the freakout I saw on Twitter regarding the end of Wynonna Earp. And I'm confused because I didn't think it was a bad ending.
It wasn't a bad ending, but I don't think it was freak out worthy.
Yeah, it wasn't like, oh my god, I can't believe they did that. Twin Peaks, what the hell are you doing? Kind of freak
yeah,
out.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, okay, I mean, it ended in a little bit of a cliffhanger, but it still didn't end in like an, oh my god, we gotta run to Twitter right now.
Yeah, and it wasn't, I mean, yeah, she gave up the baby, but what else was gonna happen in that show? You can't exactly have a little kid, you know, running around with the air, for crying out loud. So
no, in fact, I wasn't surprised.
Yeah.
At all.
That was almost...
That was pretty predictable.
Yeah, it was... Yeah, I was, that's what I was about to say. It was basically predictable. So, not surprised at all, and it is what it is. You know, I actually really enjoyed the show. I thought it was a good show. I really didn't enjoy the storyline with Waverly being a demon, because I liked Waverly the way Waverly is. You know, bubbly, happy Waverly kind of thing, and not... You know, evil demony Waverly.
Well, I think she's gonna continue to be, you know, bubbly Waverly now that the demon's gone.
Yeah.
So, but either way, it's a cool show. Check it out, especially if you're like fans of Supernatural. You'd totally love that show.
It's Supernatural in cowboy boots, basically, is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So, next up, Voltron season 4 is starting up next week, y'all, on Friday.
Yep. So you'll be able to look forward to our review of the new Voltron, because I'm sure we're gonna watch every single friggin' episode
on Friday.
On Friday.
And, well, considering it's short seasons, we'll probably be done in 2.5 hours
yep,
anyway.
You have to wait till I get home.
Well, guess what we're doing as soon as you get home?
We're going to.
We're watching Voltron.
We're going to the movies. And
Voltron.
We're watching Blade Runner 2049. Is that what we're doing?
No, I don't think so. I think you're so delusional, you don't even know.
So Voltron doesn't start this Friday. It starts next Friday.
Next Friday.
Okay, so.
So, but by the time we do our next episode, you know, we probably would have watched it already.
Yeah, more than likely. All right, that's gonna do it for a rapid fire.
Fire.
Coming up next. Seriously. Coming up next is our recap of the Battle of Star Trek. Star Trek Discovery versus Star Trek Orville.
Do you like to save money? Well, who doesn't? That's why I've started buystuff.com. You name your price for anything from airline tickets to groceries. I tell you it's too high. Then I name a price. You pay it. I make money. You see, buystuff.com doesn't save you money. It makes me money. Lots and lots of money. And that means no more Star Trek conventions. And I might finally be able to afford a decent hairpiece. So buy stuff at buystuff.com. And may the force be with you. Wait a minute. That's the wrong movie. Didn't we have a catchphrase on Star Trek? What is the catchphrase?
Buystuff.com, where you can buy stuff and never save a dime.
Alright, folks, so here we go. Star Trek Discovery versus the Orville. And the reason why we're calling it Star Trek Orville is it's Star Trek without Star Trek. I'm sorry.
Okay, so they say that it's not supposed to be a Star Trek parody, but it totally is.
And it's not even a parody per se. It is a sci-fi show. And yeah, they throw a few jokes here and there to kind of bring the comedy element
to it. But it's not crass toilet humor.
Well, it can be sometimes, like the dog licking his, you know.
Yeah, but there's not as much of that as you think there would be, you know, with the Seth MacFarlane show.
That, but I think Seth MacFarlane set out to make Star Trek. Star Trek, the Next Generation style Star Trek. And I'll be honest with you, it is the most Star Trek thing that we've seen since Star Trek, the Next Generation. It's more Star Trek than Voyager. It's more Star Trek than Enterprise.
Deep Space Nine?
Well, Deep Space Nine was okay. Yeah, I like Deep Space Nine.
Yeah, it's not bad.
But, you know, it's more Star Trek than any of the J.J. Abrams films, except for the last one, which was Simon Pegg's, which was much more Star Trek than Star Trek. And then, you know,
yeah,
J.J. Abrams versions. But, yeah, I mean, the Orville is Star Trek.
All right, so let's start off with what our thoughts were on the first two episodes of Star Trek Discovery.
And mind you, we haven't watched any more because after we watched the first two episodes, we basically canceled our CBS All Access. We decided that we were going to wait until the series is completely released before we pay the money to watch Star Trek Discovery, and then we will basically binge watch it.
Yeah, we didn't see the point in paying $10 a month to watch a weekly episode when we could just binge watch it all at once.
And that should basically tell you what we thought of the first two episodes, where it got to the point where we actually had bought the subscription to CBS All Access and then canceled it because we were like, you know, I'm not devoting a week of an hour a week to this show.
And $10 a month.
And $10 a month to watch this show. Give me a break. It's not that good.
No. Okay. So my thought on episode one. Yeah. That wasn't a sound effect. That was actually me.
Yep.
I'm sorry. It was boring. The first episode of The Next Generation, which is not the best episode, which is the...
The Q episode, Escape from Farpoint, yeah.
Yeah, Farpoint episode, right? Was a much better episode.
Yeah. I think the biggest problem I had with Discovery is it focuses around Lieutenant Michael, and Michael is not a character that I really was all that interested in. I mean, they tied her to Sarek, and it felt forced, you know what I mean? You know, where they wanted her to be Vulcan, but she's not really a Vulcan, and, you know, because she's a human, and I didn't get her backstory at all.
I mean, we've had so many other interesting characters in the past. I mean, we've had Spock, who was an actual half Vulcan, half human.
Mm-hmm.
We've had Seven of Nine, who knew nothing but the Borg, didn't even have memories of her previous life.
Right.
We've had Data.
Yep.
Cybernetic,
you know, person.
Exactly. And Deep Space Nine, the shapeshifter comes to mind.
Right. Odo, yeah.
Yeah, Odo. We have some very interesting characters. Michael is not interesting.
No, and what really bugs me about her is... She's supposed to be Vulcan trained, right?
But which means discipline.
Discipline. But she is the most undisciplined, emotional person.
She's reckless.
She's reckless. She's, you know...
Impulsive.
Impulsive. No Vulcan would logically want to go out into space and see what the anomaly was. That was just stupid. So, I mean, this whole backstory that they created for her, she was completely opposite of that person.
Yeah, and not to mention the whole mutiny business. I felt like that was just a trope. It felt so forced. Like they just like, in 5 seconds, she goes from being the first officer to, I'm going to mutiny now. It just didn't jive. It didn't make sense what her character was supposed to be.
It totally didn't make sense because think about it. Think of it this way, folks. 7 years they've been together, apparently, right? According to...
7 years, yeah, exactly.
7 years. So you're talking about, you know, Kirk and Spock and McCoy, right? And either Spock or McCoy doing a mutiny against Kirk.
That would never happen.
It would never happen.
Because on top of the fact that they are officers...
They're also friends.
Bridge officers.
And they're also
friends. But they're also best friends.
And
you can tell these two were friends.
And supposedly, yeah, they were close friends, right?
But no, she actually physically injures her superior and then tries to commit mutiny on that ship. All in a matter of minutes. It made no sense to her character at all, or the story.
Yeah. And then, I mean,
she was like a whiny little child who wasn't getting her way.
So then she throws away her career, throws away all her Vulcan discipline, throws away everything to
essentially fail.
To fail. And she failed anyways. Yeah. I don't know. And I don't know. What I'm confused about, I think this is what's really bugged me about this show, right? This is supposed to be before the original Star Trek, right?
Yeah.
And
And not that long, about 10 years?
Yeah, about 10 years before, right? So here's the problem that I have. What timeline is this? Is it the J.J. Abrams alternate timeline? It has to be, because all of the equipment and everything that they're using on that ship
looks more advanced than, like, the next generation.
It is more advanced than next generation. So you tell me, how is this 10 years before Kirk, Spock, and McCoy?
Yeah.
It's not, right?
No.
It's not.
It doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Or you're in the J.J. Abrams timeline where apparently the Federation got, you know, a whole bunch of technology that they shouldn't have had from the Romulan ship or something. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows? But
whatever the excuse is for them having all that fancy high-tech stuff.
And here's another problem I have with this show. Sarek.
Mm-hmm.
You know Spock has to be around.
Yeah.
Right? Sarek treats Michael better than he treats his own son.
Right.
Right? We know what Sarek and Spock's relationship is, and it's not a nice one.
Yeah, Sarek treated Spock like a pariah because of his half-human lineage, right? You know, his mother. And you're telling me that Sarek is treating this human like a Vulcan?
Yeah. Transwarp mind meld. Who's ever heard of a transwarp mind meld?
Yeah, that, not only that, but then also, he would never do that with Spock?
Nope.
I mean, that's some next level bullcrap. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And let's not even start talking about the Klingons.
Oh my God, don't get me started. Are they even speaking Klingon? Somebody that knows Klingon, tell us. Is that actual Klingon they're speaking?
Because it sounded like a completely different dialect.
It doesn't sound anything like Klingon to me, you know, and we've heard Klingon for years, but it doesn't sound like Klingon to me. I don't know. And they don't look like Klingons. They're not Klingons. And another thing that pissed me off is they said that in all the pre-show stuff, when everybody freaked out about the pictures of the Klingons, you know, they said that, oh, well, this is just a separate sect of the Klingons. This isn't the actual Klingons, which is bullcrap, because when the 27 houses come from the Klingon homeworld, they all look like these assholes.
Right? Okay, so we've given our thoughts on Star Trek Discovery. What are your overall thoughts on, and yes, I'm going to call it like that, Star Trek Orville?
It is what I hoped Discovery would be.
But even better, because it has some humor in it.
Well, I mean, I can give or take the humor. Sometimes the humor seems a little bit forced in the show. But I've really enjoyed the four episodes now?
Yeah,
the four episodes that we've seen of the Orville. It seems to be getting stronger.
And the last episode was fantastic.
Yeah. It seems to be getting stronger with every single episode. I like Seth MacFarlane's character, the captain. I think he's not only is he funny, but he's also the consummate Star Trek captain, you know?
Yeah. When I heard about the Orville, I was afraid that they were going to make the captain's character a bit of a doofus.
Uh-huh.
And he's not a doofus at all.
Well, they kind of made him doofusy in the beginning.
But
I think as he's grown into the role of being the captain of the Orville and the first officer, he's kind of fixed that relationship with her. I think it's kind of, it's flowed well.
Yeah.
And I love all the different characters too. The chick with that has the super strength. The
guy that's supposed to be like the Worf character.
Yeah, he's supposed to be. He's what their version of a Klingon would be. Yes. And he looks more like a Klingon than what the Klingons in Star Trek Discovery. I'm sorry. He does. Anyway.
But the whole episode about their baby getting the sex change dealio was also a good episode.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that classic Star Trek used to tackle. You know, social issues type level of stuff. And I personally think that Seth MacFarlane maybe set out to do a Star Trek series and couldn't get permission from Paramount to do it. So he's like, screw it, I'm going to do my own. And his is better than Star Trek Discovery.
Their intro is even better.
Yes. It is next generation like. It's next generation like.
And then the Discovery's intro is like all...
What is that?
I don't know what it is.
You're seeing like schematics of the Discovery. And by the way, we haven't even seen the Discovery yet. Where the hell is the Discovery?
Oh, that was in episode 3, but we canceled our subscription.
Okay, so...
we'll see it eventually.
So Star Trek Discovery finally... The Discovery finally shows up in the third episode of Star Trek Discovery. Jeez. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what else we could say at this point. I think the Orville is definitely really great sci-fi. I've really enjoyed watching it. And I'm pretty disappointed with Star Trek Discovery. I've heard the third episode is better than the first two. So hopefully that's the case, and hopefully the series will continue to improve. I can tell you one thing. Reed and I will not be discussing Star Trek Discovery until the season is over.
Yeah, we'll do our season review once we can binge watch the whole thing, because we just honestly don't want to dedicate an hour a week and $10 a month of our time and money to see this show.
Yeah,
that's just basically how it is.
Yep, that's what it boils down to. All right, coming up next, we are going to talk Doctor Who.
Wee-oo.
Okay, auditions for the new Earth Station Who co-host. Take one, go ahead.
Hello, Stonehenge, who takes the Pandora Cup, takes the universe. But, bad news everyone, cause guess who? Ha, listen, you lot you're all whizzing about. It's really very distracting. Could you all just stay still a minute because I am talking?
Not bad. Can you do another? Maybe something less wordy.
He's like fire and ice and rage. He's like the night and the storm in the heart of the sun. He's ancient and forever. He burns at the center of time and can see the turn of the universe, and he's wonderful.
Wow, a little dark. Anything a little lighter?
There's no point in being grown up if you can't be childish sometimes.
Maybe. Got something a little fresher?
I am not a good man, and I'm not a bad man. I am not a hero, and I'm definitely not a president. And, no, I'm not an officer. Do you know what I am? I am an idiot with a box and a screwdriver.
Not too shabby. Can you close this up?
Earth Station Who, a fun mashup celebrating over 50 years of the Doctor Who universe. You never know where the TARDIS is going to go next. Earth Station Who podcast can be found at www.earthstationwho.com. Earth Station Who is a proud member of the ESO network. We are up on Facebook, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or wherever fine podcasts are found. Peace and we are done. Did I pass the audition?
We'll get back to you. Next!
Hello, this is Nick Briggs, the voice of the Daleks, and you're listening to Transmissions from Atlantis. And I urge you to listen, or you will be exterminated!
No! No! When I say no, you turn back around! Hey! I'm gonna be dead in a few hours, so before I go, let's have this out, you and me. Once and for all. Winning? Is that what you think it's about? I'm not trying to win. I'm not doing this because I want to beat someone, or because I hate someone, or because I want to blame someone. It's not because it's fun. God knows it's not because it's easy. It's not even because it works, because it hardly ever does. I do what I do because it's right, because it's decent. And above all, it's kind. It's just that. Just kind. If I run away today, good people will die. If I stand and fight, some of them might live. Maybe not many, maybe not for long. Hey, you know, maybe there's no point in any of this at all, but it's the best I can do. So I'm going to do it, and I will stand here doing it till it kills me. You're going to die too. Someday. How would that be if you thought about it? What would you die for? Who I am. It's where I stand, where I stand. It's where I fall. Stand with me. These people are terrified. Maybe we can help. A little. Why not? Just at the end. Just be kind.
All right, folks, so obviously with Doctor Who and its off-season, it's a little bit light in the Doctor Who news world, although there was some interesting developments this past couple weeks. So there's going to be a new Doctor Who game, which apparently is going to be for PC and mobile, and it's going to be called Doctor Who Infinity. And apparently this game is going to build off of the addictive puzzle gameplay of Doctor Who Legacy, and it's going to immerse players in a comic book style puzzle adventure.
Beginning with the Dalek invasion of time.
Yep. And apparently in that one, Peter Capaldi's 13th Doctor teams with Missy to defeat the Daleks.
But what's cool about this game is that that's not going to be the only story. There's going to be others.
Mm-hmm.
And each one is going to have its unique art style and an author for each one of those stories.
Did you ever play Doctor Who Legacy?
I played it for a little while.
Yeah. I played it a little bit. I kind of lost interest in it just because of the way that it was kind of laid out. I kind of like three-dimensional games, and that one was kind of like the two-dimensional, you know, you got to jump over shit. And
yeah, yeah. I didn't enjoy that game
too
much.
It bugged me a little bit, so I didn't really play it all that much.
But this is going to be cool because there's a lot of comic book artists involved in order to illustrate the stories in this game, so I'm thinking this is going to be more interesting than Legacy.
Well, we'll see. I, from what I understand, by the end of Legacy, a lot of the Doctor Who companions were in it. I think the Pawns were added. Some of the other Doctors were added into it. I would imagine that a lot of that would carry over into this new game.
So. Yeah.
Also, there was some news regarding the Christmas special, Twice Upon a Time, and the official synopsis got released.
Which I actually have not even had a chance to read.
Yep, so apparently it's two doctors are stranded in a forbidden snowscape, refusing to face regeneration, and a British army captain, seemingly destined to die in the First World War, but taken from the trenches to play his part in the Doctor's story. This is the magical last chapter of the 12th Doctor's epic adventure, and he must face his past to decide his future. And there's a little bit more about humanity and discovering hope and all this kind of stuff, but it should be interesting.
Now, here's a question for you. Do you think we're going to see the new Doctor at the end of the Christmas episode?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely I do. Yeah, I think we will see Jodie Whittaker show up for the first time. In Capaldi clothes, and that will definitely be interesting to see a female doctor for the first time. In addition to, obviously, David Radley reprising the role of the first doctor, we're apparently going to also get two of the first doctor's companions, Ben and Polly.
Which will be very cool.
Which kind of aligns with what a lot of people are thinking. This episode is taking place during the timeline of the 10th Planet, which was the first Doctor's last episode.
Which is a Cybermen episode, right?
Yep, that is when the Cybermen first show up. And it was the Sockhead Cybermen that we saw at the end of last season.
Yes.
So, did Capaldi's Doctor somehow bring those Cybermen to Earth in that final battle of the 10th Planet?
I don't know, but I think we're supposed to be seeing Bill again, right?
Yeah, but it's probably going to be something like, remember when the 11th Doctor regenerated? Well, technically, I guess he's the 12th Doctor.
And kind of saw a vision of her, or a flashback of her,
and
something.
And saw a vision of Amy, you know, so that's probably going to be the same deal. I would be, and I've heard rumors that Jenna Coleman may be popping back in again as well.
Oh, Lord.
Yep.
Well, hopefully, again, that'll be in the Amy Pond type of, you know,
cameo real quick.
Real quick cameo, vision, flashback type of thing.
Yep.
All right, so then final news for Doctor Who. The spinoff, Class, has been dismissed.
Yes, it has been canceled by the BBC. There will be no more Class at the BBC. Yes, I was waiting for that one.
Yeah, well, that is not surprising.
No, not at all.
I mean, we caught the first few episodes and we thought the show was awful. Yeah, and we never watched it again from that point on.
Yeah, it was terrible. And I just didn't see enough connections to the Doctor Who universe.
The problem is that the BBC just doesn't listen.
Yep.
You know, we tell them what spinoffs would work for us.
Yep.
Let's see. Captain Jack and River Song.
Yep.
For starters.
Yep.
And then maybe another one with the...
the Paternoster gang.
Exactly.
Yep.
That would be freaking amazing. So how about doing that?
Well, we may never see the Paternoster gang again because that was kind of a Matt thing and they never showed up in the, except for the very first episode of Capaldi.
Yeah, during the episode Breathe.
Yeah. And that's it.
That's right.
Deep breath.
Deep breath. Yep. That's right.
And that's it. You know, that's the only time we've seen them in the whole, you know, run of Capaldi. So I'm wondering if maybe they've been put to bed as well. And it'll be interesting to see if Chibnall brings any of the earlier companions back.
We know that was never Moffat's cup of tea.
Yeah.
But with Chibnall, it might be different.
I would be thoroughly interested to see not only River Song's reaction to a female doctor, but also Jack's.
Yeah.
Reaction to a female doctor.
Yep.
That would be interesting.
All right, so I think that does it for Doctor Who.
All right, folks, that's going to do it for this episode of Transmissions from Atlantis. We want to thank you for joining us, and again, we apologize for taking so long to get this episode out. It's just been a crazy couple of weeks, folks, as you can imagine. Our next episode, we will definitely be talking Voltron.
We'll also be talking the new Blade Runner movie.
As well as the return of Supernatural. That Supernatural should be kicking back up again. And isn't The Walking Dead starting again soon?
Is it?
Well, maybe not. Because weren't they having problems with the... I don't know. Anyway. Either way, we will definitely be covering Voltron, Supernatural, and Blade Runner. And whatever else pops up. So, we will see what happens. Until then...
Elonzi.
Elonzi. Goodbye, everybody.
Allons-y. I should say allons-y more often. Allons-y. Look sharp, Rose Tyler. Allons-y. And then, it'd be really brilliant if I met someone called Alonzo. Because then I could say allons-y, Alonzo, every time.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.